Welcome to a 10-Minute Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And
we're recording. We won't keep it to like five overtimes.
No. We were supposed to record last night after the game, and quite frankly, I was exhausted. We decided we would jump on together after we've processed all that had gone on in eight periods of hockey and talk about the historic Lightning win. Thank gosh they won. Holy moly.
When it got to the fourth overtime, I was watching it with my 14-year-old son, and I looked at him and I said, I have a feeling Tyler Johnson's going to win this for us. But number two, I really, really, really hope the Lightning win for the psyche of it all.
Oh.
Because 87 shots or something after the fourth overtime. And I thought, you know, and Vassy, listen, everybody keeps talking about, you know, Corpy. Vassy had an amazing game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was incredible. And by any other stretch, it would have been all anybody's talking about. But it's, right, what, 63 shots total that he faced compared to 88. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. And maybe it's just the homer in me, but everybody's talking about the 80-plus shots, the Corposalo stop. But let's talk about the 80-plus on-goal shots that the Lightning made. And they,
unreal.
I mean, yes, Corposalo and Vassy both played amazing games. I mean, I really think they kept, you know, those teams in it as far as late as it went. Because, I mean, you could just see the fatigue on legs. And, I mean,
You know who impressed me in all those overtimes the most?
Who?
Pat Maroon.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Pat Maroon played at such a high level of intensity and energy. And he's a big boy.
He is.
He's one of our biggest boys. And I was like, how is his energy this high? Well, I was blown away.
I mean, I think he's on the fourth line, and so they don't necessarily get as much regulation play time. And I noticed the later and later that the overtimes went, the more and more we saw that fourth line in there. So maybe that's why, because I think, I really think that the coaches did a great job on the side of the Lightning by managing the ice time. Because, like, if you look at Columbus, a couple of their players played a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I think Seth Jones, number one, first of all, and then I forgot the second guy, played over 60 minutes.
Yeah, so we didn't have anybody over 60 minutes. So I think that's one of the things, you know, the benefits of having four lines that can score and that can really play versus maybe a team that doesn't have that kind of firepower so much on every line. But I mean, I thought both teams played really well. It was a close game, obviously. It took five overtimes to figure it out. I thought the coaches did a great job managing the ice time. I thought the players did a great job when they were getting tired or mentally fatigued, getting off the ice. That's a huge thing, not wanting to stay out there and just push it a little bit further. It really was a full team effort. Not a fluky goal, but just like a innocent kind of flip of the puck off of a deflection. And it goes in and ends the marathon of a game, the longest game in Lightning history, the fourth longest game in the NHL's history. I mean, it just was.
And two of those, I think, like the first and second, are like the 1933 and 1936. Like that.
Exactly.
We can count that, but, you know. I mean, but, you know.
I think it was the second longest game since expansion.
Yeah, yeah.
Just bravo to everybody. But, you know, I was joking with a couple friends. You know, it only took us five overtimes to beat the Blue Jackets in a playoff game. Because when you think about it, you know. I was like, the Lightning are not going to let them win this game. They will keep playing and pushing. But at that point, it's whoever makes the mental mistake first. You know?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if on Pointer's goal, it was a mental mistake other than it was a really nice shot.
It was beautiful. Like,
it was,
there was no noise that I could hear off the stick. You know, it was kind of like a stealthy little flip of the wrist and it goes in.
I mean, perfect, perfect placement. I love how the NHL, like at one point, put up the on the board up there in Toronto.
Oh my gosh!
Put still overtime.
Yeah.
Like I just thought that was great. Like
seventh inning stretch.
Seventh period stretch or whatever they called it.
Hopefully you didn't have other plans tonight, kind of thing. I mean, the tweets from the other teams were hysterical. Yeah. And the tweets from the hockey world were great. There was one that was like, I think it was from the Canes that was like, can we stay up? Can we get permission to stay up past our bedtime? Don't want to tattle, but the other team's still on the ice, you know, kind of thing. So they had to move the Boston Hurricanes game to 11 a.m. today to accommodate the late 6.5 hour hockey game that happened. And like you could see in the corner in one of the tunnels, the Canes and Boston equipment guys and just standing there watching the game, like waiting for it to be over because they only have an hour. I think it's like an hour to get out of the arena.
Yeah.
And then they have an hour to load in. And to research, I mean, the ice was terrible as the game went on. The ice would have been horrible for that Boston game. So I'm glad they kind of made that adjustment. But I mean, you got to think, and you and I were texting, hockey players are very structured and they have routines. And those guys had already had their pregame meal, their pregame nap, you know, like they were ready to go for a regular routine. And then they were just sitting waiting.
I know. It's wild.
So it's probably good. And I haven't looked today, but I'd be interested to see if they move the Lightning game that's scheduled for 3:00 Thursday to earlier in the day to accommodate for a long game. but it'll be interesting to see what happens in the second game because, I mean, obviously the Lightning were very excited that they won.
I don't know how they had the energy to even celebrate. I was like,
it's the adrenaline. It's just the release of like all that pent up, like we have, you know, cause at that point it's like, you know, you're playing the longest game in a long time. It's like more than just winning a game. It's more like pride, especially with the history from a team like that last year.
Yeah.
But I had some people on my social media be like, so did we just win the cup? Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, it really did. It did.
So how do you temper that excitement? Because I did see video that the Lightning posted of the players coming back in the locker room after winning the game. And they, I mean, as they should be, like, excited. But it's like, hey, guys, that was game one of 16 wins that you have to at least get. You know, like, game one.
Well, it was also the first playoff game they had won because they had lost six straight. So that's kind of, I think,
a monkey off their back.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they always say, we aren't thinking about other years or whatever, but, you know, it's in the back of their mind. But I just hope that they're able to temper that excitement and that, you know, relief, kind of, and are still able to channel it. I mean, I can't think of all the lactic acid that is built up in their legs right now. Like, they're hurting today. They've got to be.
Oh, they have to be.
And then to turn around and play again on Thursday, I mean, oh. I mean, my legs were hurting, and I was laying on the couch watching TV. And, you know, thank goodness. Because I think probably you and I would have been at that game in the stands for 6.5 hours. They stopped selling beer at some point and food.
And, you know, to that point, everybody was talking about, you know, how great the TV crew had done for Fox Sun Sports. Because if you had the app, we were watching on the NHL app. It was the Fox
NHL feed.
Yeah, yeah. And then the
NBC.
Yeah, yeah. It was so we were watching, you know, our guys.
Right,
call the
I was
game,
too.
Rick
yeah.
and all that. But I saw so many people like, oh, Rick, you know, and listen, the TV guys did a great job. But also, I would like to give a shout out to our friends Dave Mishkin and
my
Mr.
gosh.
Phil Esposito, because it is really, really hard, and there is a big difference between TV and radio. And I think it was Dan Ula we talked to that used to be the, you know, the crunch guy. And then now he's the Vegas radio guy. And we had talked to him about it. And he said, well, the difference is in hockey, you have to constantly give the visual for everybody listening. Whereas in TV, they can actually go a couple seconds without saying anything.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. And Dave Mishkin was absolutely brilliant. And
Betty doesn't have a voice today.
You could hear it. You could hear it.
Vocal rest for Dave.
And you know, Phil hung in there. He got a little irritated with Cooch's play on that power play at the end. Mm. He got a little irritated. I thought Cooch got a little sloppy and this and that. And I was kind of, you know, I'm not a Hall of Fame hockey player. Right. But I was thinking, like, I'm going to give Cooch a pass on this one.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there are a couple Sergachev things that he did during the course of the entire game where I was just like, but he seemed to recover from them quickly. But after a first overtime, I can't really fault any of those guys for anything that they do because imagine.
You saw Gord falling on the ice for no reason. I mean, and their guys were falling. It was just, you're tired. The ice, oh boy.
Yeah. At that point, like as long as we kept going, I got more concerned about possible injuries because the ice is bad. Players are tired.
When Hedman took the stick to the face.
Oh, I was like, here we go.
I didn't see it. The angle, I didn't see that the puck, the stick had hit him in the face. And I just saw him go down and I went, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And then they show the replay. And then I'm like, why is Hedman just talking to the ref? What is he doing?
Yeah.
And then they show the replay and I'm like, oh, he got hit in the face. Yeah. And then I heard, you know, an oopsie this morning on Sirius NHL.
Yeah.
They're talking about, you know, the Lightning got, you know, that penalty on the stick accidentally hitting Hedman. And I'm like, no, they didn't get a penalty on that. Cause I was like, that's high sticking in the face.
Yeah, no, they didn't get the penalty on that. And I guess at the post game press conference, I didn't see it cause I was watching the Tampa feed, but on NBCSN, I guess they showed Tortorella and he like came in, wasn't really in the mood to have a press conference and said, don't even ask me about the non-call. And I guess right before we scored, right before they scraped the ice, when Hedman was defending
face down
on that breakaway, I guess maybe Columbus thought they should have had a penalty.
You can watch it 100,000 times. He barely touched. I mean, I don't even know if he touched the guy. Yeah. I think the guy's legs just gave out.
Gave out on him, yeah.
And you've got a huge dude chasing you. Chasing you down. And you're kind of, you know, a one little mental mistake.
Yeah.
You look behind and boom, you're down because you played a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
But I've looked at it and I'm pretty, you know, down the middle with those things. Like, no, I don't think that was a dirty hit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they should have get called. I think that was a clean play. I really do.
And also it's playoff hockey. There aren't a lot of calls either. So they kind of let the guys play a little bit.
Yeah.
As I've seen in the past, but
and they don't want to be responsible in a situation like that.
Right. Right.
Where
it
now
just
everybody
happened that after that play, we ended up scoring. Thank gosh.
I think I texted you and I was like, thank you, God.
No, I was like, hallelujah. I will say the collision with Vasi at the beginning of the game that made his lip bleed. I was a little concerned, but he was on it, man.
He's a tough
goaltender.
He is. Yeah. It was just obviously goes without saying a phenomenal performance.
Yeah.
I'm slightly concerned with Korpisalo now.
Korpisalo is a great goaltender.
I'm kind of concerned, but at the same time, you know, goalies are really mental players. Mm-hmm. Not like they're mentally crazy, but they're really, you know, use their
head. Internally process things.
And so it's going to be interesting to see if that performance kind of takes a little out of his tank.
It'll be interesting to see with the whole team, because at the end of the game, Nick Foligno looked angry, like staring down the Lightning and looking pissed off. I'll be interested to see how they come out, because a lot of people are like, oh, it was a psychological victory. Like, it's going to take a lot for the Blue Jackets to like get pumped up and think that they can win after a game like that. And I'm like, I don't know if it's me. I'm like, I want to win the fourth longest game in NHL history. Like, I'm pissed. Like, I work just as hard.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how they, because Tortorella, he is kind of a hockey player whisperer. It'll be really interesting to see how he takes that pissed off energy and kind of feeds it towards Thursday's game. because there are going to be guys who feel defeated. There are going to be guys that feel pissed off. So how do you kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Focus that energy to try to win a game.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, lots of factors. I mean, this is a lot more than a physical game now. This is a mental game at this point, because I was exhausted watching on my couch. I can't imagine how they're all feeling.
And not only, you know, the length of time they were on the ice, but I want to bring up something. Columbus blocked 62 shots.
I know.
And the Lightning blocked 30, which is crazy in itself to block that many shots in a game. Columbus blocked 62 shots. So I want everybody to think about, a puck is coming at you and you make the conscious decision to dive your body in front of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's something of a Tortorella team. Like, I mean, when he was the coach of the Lightning in 2004 that they won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the big things, the big characteristics of that Tampa Bay Lightning team. It's always been a characteristic of his team that he's coached since then. It's like you dive in front of those pucks to stop them. So,
but there's going to be some bruises.
Oh yeah, there are going to be bumps and bruises. Yeah. I mean, and
I've seen defensemen say, like, you know, you block shots, it takes, I think it was Dan Girardi on one of the block parties or something had mentioned, like, yeah, it really takes a toll on you because those pucks hurt.
Well, and a good point to also bring up is when they were in the series against Toronto, just to get into the playoffs, they played a lot of extra periods. So I think somebody said, like, since the beginning of the best of five to this, they've played 8 games in 8 days. If you look at the extra periods, I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but I mean, they did play extra periods. Mm-hmm. I think the last game they played in Toronto, and I mean, the game before that, when Toronto came back, they played extra periods. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to think of that too, all those minutes that those guys have played. So hopefully that will work in our favor a little bit.
Yeah. Because the Lightning, you know, went to overtime twice, but in the round robin, but that was a different format.
Right. So. It was the 3-on-3 and all that, you know,
shootout. So
very different.
Boy, oh boy.
You know, but John Tortorella teams are built for battle, and I don't see them laying down. The only thing that might work in our favor is the fatigue and the you know, just the constant what's the word I'm looking for? You know, battle scars, you know, the physical ramifications of stopping 60 plus shots in a game. I mean, it's crazy. By the way, I wanted to ask you something. I was trying to figure out why John Tortorella's coaching staff was not wearing suits.
Okay. Did you ever look it up? Because I did.
I Googled it, and I've seen a couple times where he's worn a hoodie because he hasn't been feeling well. But it's not – I don't know that it's the entire coaching staff that is wearing track suits.
Yeah, I couldn't – I did it too because you texted me. And I was like, that's such an interesting point. And I looked it up, and I went to Google Images, and I'm like, oh, he's done this in the past where he wears the zip-up.
Right. But I'm like – It's playoff hockey. Like, I don't know. It's a really dumb thing that I'm just like, but he seems like such a stickler for like the rules, and like you come to show, like you dress for success, like kind of one of those guys a little bit.
Maybe their dry cleaning didn't get to the hotel in time.
They only can have so many suits in a suitcase, I guess. I don't know. I found it very odd. It's like, okay. I don't know. It was just something I noticed that it took me like 2 periods to be like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Coach Cooper and his guys are in suits, but then Torts and his guys are in track suits. I mean, they looked very professional, but it just wasn't what I was used to. It was more like a junior game, like a World Juniors game where like the coach, I don't know. It was weird. I thought it was different.
Just as one of those weird things. It was just, the whole thing was weird.
It's the whole Tortorella mental game. It's just another game. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to game 2.
Yeah, I hope it's only 60 minutes.
And, you know, Hedman said after the game that he was shocked. He actually felt pretty good.
I know. He was game time decision. Like, everybody
out there.
Yeah, they address Luke Shen because, you know, for warmups, because Hedman was a game time decision. Mm-hmm. It also is, you know, Izzy isn't he for the other team too. But I mean, the reaction on social media when people saw Hedman coming out for on the bench for start of play, people were very excited. So
as you should be.
Yes. Oh man.
And I thought he played really well.
He had a great game.
I don't think like the ankle. It didn't look like it was bothering him at all.
I don't think he was expecting to play 8 periods of hockey
on his game back.
So I hope the coach isn't making them skate today.
No, I think they're off. I'm pretty sure they're off today.
Yeah, just stay in bed today, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe get some massages.
And I don't know if we have an update on Stamkos yet.
I don't really think they're saying anything. I did notice in the Lightning's video of when the team was coming back in the locker room after the win, I did see him in his tracksuit celebrating with the guys. So
Of course.
Yeah. But nothing like chicken and rice and oatmeal in between periods before you have to go out and play. I don't know how guys were eating and then going out and playing. I would have puked all over the bench, but
yeah.
I thought overall
it was a good game. Obviously hard fought, that goes without saying, but there was nobody that really stood out to me. Like Sergachev's still in my sights because I think he still makes a little bit of goofy dopey thing. He does a little questionable things there. Decision making.
Yeah.
I thought Gord had a great game. I thought Sorelli really played well, really needed him in those face-offs. Johnson is Johnson.
Yeah.
I was so for Killorn. He had one shot, and I was like, give Killer, come on.
Coleman needs to score a goal. I mean, he had so many good looks.
Mm-hmm. Great game by him.
Yeah, I thought everybody, like I said, full team effort from the coaches to the players to the training staff to keep those guys hydrated and energized. Like, you could really see, like, it was a full team effort afterwards on the bench with the celebration. So, you know, good job,
guys. Win or lose, I wouldn't have had, even if they lost, I mean, I would have been, you know, disappointed, but not really any complaints or, you know, anything as little, you know, face-offs were pretty even. I think it was 52-48.
Gosh, it's a lot of Lightning face-offs.
Oh no, gosh. I mean 52%. Lightning won.
It's still a lot of face-offs.
It was a lot of face-offs.
Like the numbers really are just crazy. So
yeah. Everything about this game was just beyond comprehension. But nobody really stood out. Like, wasn't the best effort. I mean, again, later on there were kind of things, but once they got after second overtime, I let everything.
At that point, like I said, it's whoever made the mental mistake first or a fluky goal went in at that point, because I mean.
And I don't even know how much of a fluky goal points was. I mean,
it was a laser
through traffic. I don't know how it got through all. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah, it wasn't so much a fluky goal. It was
like Gord's. I mean, let's be honest. That was a fluky goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they actually, if you were watching, I like to watch the stats go on NHL.com.
Yeah.
And they actually, for about a minute and a half, had it credited to Korpisalo.
Oh, really?
Lightning goal.
Right. Korpisalo, because it went off his pad.
Yeah.
And then,
And then they changed it. And then it was Gord. And then, you know, but I was like, I've never seen this before. I should have known then. That should have been the foreshadowing that this was going to be a bizarre game.
This is the most 2020-esque game ever. I mean, when you think about it, it's just on par with the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully we don't have extra periods like that again in this series, because I don't know. I just, you know, let's go in and win a game. But I think they're all going to be really close games. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be tight. It's going to be close.
Agreed.
So, and I think those guys on those third and fourth line are going to be the difference makers in these games, because they were shutting down our top two lines pretty well, but they still got some good looks. So it's going to be the third and fourth line that are going to be those difference makers, the Gords, the Maroons, you know, the Sorelli, the Colemans, you know, all of that. So we'll have to wait and see until Thursday when they play
tomorrow.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Tell your friends that they can listen to our, it was a 25-minute game misconduct, but that's okay. We had a lot to talk about. We said we weren't going to go into five overtimes, but we kind of did. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you after the game two of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals, Lightning, Blue Jackets. It's going to be a good series, people. Buckle up. We'll catch you next time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.